The Skagway Assembly will discuss ore terminal leases, and energy assessors will travel southeast communities this fall. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Skagway Assembly meets Thursday when a proposed lease with the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, or AIDA, will be discussed. The Assembly discussed the draft lease in executive session on July 12th. It would allow AIDA to use the Skagway ore terminal after the White Pass lease expires in 2023. An amendment to the White Pass lease, recently finalized by the Assembly, allows Skagway to take back undeveloped waterfront from White Pass and Yukon Route Railway, located south of the Skagway ore terminal. AIDA currently subleases the terminal from White Pass, but the new lease would make AIDA the primary lessee when the White Pass lease expires in 2023. The new lease would run through 2050. The draft version caps the amount of ore coming into the terminal for shipment at 650,000 tons annually. Rent will be based on a formula using fair market value of the property. But the lease has yet to be reviewed by AIDA, who can respond with changes if it chooses. AIDA told the Skagway News recently it requested the lease because it would provide a long-range certainty to Yukon mining operations that want to use Skagway's port for export. An AIDA spokesperson told the newspaper, the new mines in the Yukon potentially have operating lives of more than 30 years, which is why the state wants the ore terminal to be operational beyond 2023. If approved by the Assembly, the AIDA lease will have to be ratified by voters at the October 2nd municipal election. It has to go to voters because it's expected to bring in more than $250,000 in payments over the life of the lease. In his report, Skagway manager Tom Smith requests the Assembly discuss issuing a request for proposal for legal services and requests a discussion about the Coastal Zone Management Initiative that will appear on the August 29th primary election ballot. The Assembly may also discuss a possible study on the ferry system in the Upper Lynn Canal. The municipality's Ad Hoc Marine Highway Advisory Committee prepared a scope of work for an analysis of ferry schedules, tariffs, and traffic forecasts for the Northern Lynn Canal. Earlier this summer, the committee brought up concerns about the change in ferry schedules that left Skagway and Haines without a true dayboat service. Captain Mike Newsell is the state's Deputy Commissioner of Marine Transportation, and he said after discussions with the committee, the ferry system will try to adjust the 2013 ferry schedule for the Lynn Canal to provide better service to Skagway and Haines. The Skagway Assembly meets Thursday evening at 7 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. The Haines Assembly met in a special meeting Tuesday evening to discuss two items that had faded in urgency since the special meeting was scheduled, and the mayor had to vote to break a tie on one of the issues. The first item was to set a public hearing for an ordinance approving the sale of some borough property near Lutac Dock to the state for ferry terminal improvements. The state had originally requested the Assembly expedite the process, saying it could lose funding for the improvement project if an August timeline wasn't met. But Borough Manager Mark Ernest said the state notified him late last week, after the special meeting was scheduled, that the timeline had been relaxed. That will allow the borough to have its own independent assessment of the property. The state is offering just over $300,000 for the piece of property, or $12 a square foot. Ernest said according to the borough's independent appraiser, a recent and similar project in Ketchikan netted $14 to $16 a square foot, a price that could increase the state's estimate for the Haines property by $50,000 to $100,000. Ernest said the expanded timeline will allow the borough more time to negotiate the price. The second item on the agenda brought the most discussion. The resolution was for the borough to vacate a right-of-way to accommodate the Chilkoot Indian Association's Community Service Center, planned for construction between 3rd and 2nd Avenue and near Willard Street. But several issues came up during the discussion on the resolution. First, Chilkoot Indian Association Tribal Administrator Dave Berry said the tribe discovered during a recent required wetland study that improper drainage from downtown had caused much of the property to become wetland. He said 80% of the right-of-way the tribe is asking for from the borough was classified as wetland by a surveyor, and now a redesign of the footprint of the building is required, he said. But Assemblywoman Deborah Schnabel argued that the property can only be officially classified wetland by the Army Corps of Engineers. Nonetheless, the borough has estimated a fair market value of about $5 a square foot for the right-of-way. but a larger issue was the idea of vacating right-of-ways in general. Assemblywoman Joanne Waterman said she was concerned by the borough's history of approving vacations of right-of-ways for planned buildings and then having some developers not follow through with those plans. She said she was not specifically worried about the tribe in this case, but she said the borough should ensure that before it vacates right-of-ways, it confirms it is providing adequate emergency and fire access to surrounding properties. Schnabel and Steve Vick agreed the vacation of right-of-ways caused concerns about adequate emergency access to properties. Assemblyman Norm Smith said the issue seemed to be too convoluted to approve at this point. On the final vote, Waterman, Smith, and Vick voted against the measure. Mayor Stephanie Scott voted to break the tie and approve the resolution. The next regularly scheduled Haines Assembly meeting is August 14th. A new energy conservation effort is targeting home power and heating costs in more than a dozen Southeast Alaska communities, including Skagway and Haines. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The Energy Sense program is part research and part action. It's hiring 28 Southeast residents who will become home energy consumption assessors. Tasha McCoy, who coordinates the program for the Tlingit-Haida Regional Housing Authority, says the assessors will be trained in mid-September, then begin their work.
We're going to be going into 400 homes and working 8 hours in each of the homes to teach the actual home dweller energy efficiency and energy conservation.
The program will focus on single-family homes. A later program will include apartments and businesses. McCoy says assessors will gather information about needs specific to each community. It will be used to secure more funding.
This is a research effort. We're also going to be putting up to $300 in energy efficiency supplies in each of the 400 homes that we're going to.
That money can be spent on window wrap, water heater blankets, and compact fluorescent light bulbs. It can also be used towards appliance and heating system upgrades. McCoy says Energy Sense is meant to complement a separate weatherization program also run by the Tlingit-Haida Regional Housing Authority. A main focus will be on Angoon, Hoona, Cake, and Yakutat, which have some of the region's highest energy costs.
For example, in Cake, everyone uses a freezer because everyone pretty much does a lot of subsistence. Same with Angoon. So if they have old freezers and that energy is being drawn from those old freezers and causing them to have really high energy costs, we want to make sure that we try and find funding to get them new freezers and things like that.
The program will also be active in Craig, Haines, Heidelberg, Juneau, and Kassan. Other locations are Ketchikan, Kluock, Petersburg, Saxman, Skagway, and Wrangell. In addition to home visits, educational energy fairs will reach out to more community residents. Fairs scheduled so far include September 22nd in Juneau, September 28th in Craig, October 13th in Saxman, and October 25th in Cake. Energy Sense is funded by grants from a federal tribal energy program, a native housing program, and First Bank. I'm Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
Southeast Alaska's commercial troll fleet came up well short of the targeted catch of king salmon in a 9-day opener earlier in July. The target number was 98,000 Chinook in the first summer opening July 1st through the 9th. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game says the actual catch was just over 61,000. Fish and Game's regional troll biologist, Patty Scannis, says catch rates dropped off after the first week of fishing.
When people came in after their first trip, the averages were really pretty high. They were averaging at least 20 per boat per day. And by the time they came in with a second trip, it went down to maybe 15 or 16 per boat per day on the average. And then it seemed to drop off pretty steeply after that. We heard some reports, but we didn't have a lot of landings until it was all over to indicate just how much it did drop. We came in well short of our target, as it turns out, and those fish will be targeted in the next opening, which will begin sometime in August.
As catch rates dropped, so did the number of trollers out fishing. Scannis said quite a few permit holders did not fish the full 9-day opening.
Some quit early because their catch rates fell. Others left and went to target chum in West Beam Canal. And still others, I think, just decided it wasn't, worth staying out and maybe switch to a different sort of fishery.
Trollers have flocked to West Bem Canal near Ketchikan, chasing hatchery chums produced by the Southern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association. The troll harvest there in late July totaled 300,000 dogs, with the fleet averaging 150 chum per landing. Average troll prices this summer were $3.48 a pound for king salmon, $1.36 for coho, and 82 cents a pound for chum. Scanna says troll fishing for coho has started out well.
Catch rates are above average, and the fish are small, but they're reported to be of very good quality. We've had a lot of reports of a good supply of feed. People report a lot of needlefish. I think it's going to be a good coho year.
Fish and Game is projecting the troll fleet will catch 2.1 million wild coho this summer and projects Southeast overall return will hit 3.8 million silvers. Trolling will close sometime this month to allow cohos to make it back to streams on the inside waters. Then Fish and Game will have another king opening targeting the remaining wild kings allowed under the Pacific Salmon Treaty with Canada. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld and Joe Vicknicki for their help with this report. And thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.